Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. Get your dream business up and running or take control of your family's future with LegalZoom. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 367, recorded on Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How are y'all doing, folks?
Pretty good.
Week until Google.
Oh, I know. It's kind of like the eve of Christmas almost.
It is.
Kind of feels
it's
that
like we're
way.
We're going to Disneyland next week.
Sorry. Yeah? Yeah.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. I am going to Disney World on Friday. So.
Oh.
Well, that's a good alternative. You're not going to I.O., but.
Instead of going to I.O., I'm going to actual Disney
World. I'm a little jealous. I'm not going to lie.
Fine. Well, you have fun there. We will miss you, Ron. We'll talk more about I.O. very shortly, but we want to welcome to the show first-time guest Chuki Chan, and it's really great to have you here, Chuki. How are you doing?
Great. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. You are a doer of many things. You are super busy. We were talking about it prior to the show, but among the things that you might recognize Chuki from, Android Dialogues on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, about your show on YouTube a little bit, because you put out a lot of content, and obviously it's very geared for developers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's me and Huan Tuai Dao, the two of us, are the hosts for the show. And we interview people in the Android community, mostly developers, but we also talk to designers and other people who are involved with Android. And it's a pretty casual chat. We usually have one topic per episode and about 10 to 15 minutes long. And then just talk about, well, sometimes it's really deep developer stuff like the activity lifecycle, or sometimes it's more higher level about, oh, well, you know, if we want to make it work with iOS as well, how does a designer come up with a design that's consistent on both platforms? So mostly developer, and we try to have one episode a week, which for a small team of two, that's pretty right. aggressive.
And you're doing these, so do you have like a studio that you're recording it in, or are you doing all this kind of location-based jumping around the world?
No, we mostly interview people when we are on the road at conferences. So I have a camcorder and I have a mic and a little sound recorder that I go with me. She has more stuff. Sometimes she brings lights and a boom mic and all these other things. I am lazy. I just didn't want to carry all those things. But of course, like the quality is very different. When we first started, I just used my camcorder, actually. And then people who were watching the show were saying, there's a lot of reverb. I don't even know what is reverb. And it turns out it's a fancy word for echo.
Yeah.
And then we got the lav mic so that it's focus. It's kind of bouncing all around. Yeah. Things you learn.
Yeah.
For me, I have the visual and then the good sound. Actually, the good sound makes a very big difference. Now that I actually know what it is, when I listen to a podcast that doesn't have that, I'm like...
or the cognitive dissonance between one person that's mic'd really well and another person that's echoey. And that's, I mean, you know, we do a lot of remote, you know, guests on the network all the time.
Right.
We deal with that all the time where some people just quite frankly don't have a good microphone.
Right. Yeah. And we do try to do it remote as well.
Yeah.
But again, it's much harder to get that quality. And also the fact that we usually like use Skype and then people are looking, they don't know where to look. So it looks funny that the final outcome is not the same when we're in the same room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's very good content. Michael Wolfson, who actually is going to be on. Not normally, Michael is on this episode. He's usually our pre-IO guest.
But that's the schedule.
Yeah, but the reason that's different is because this year IO is now Tuesday through Thursday instead of Wednesday through Friday. So normally he'd be in town. He'd come on Tuesday night prior to the start of IO. So now he's coming on the post IO episode. So you're like our Michael Wolfson today.
I don't think I can. Yeah, maybe half of one Michael Wolfson. But
I bring him up because he was on your show as well.
That's true. Yeah.
At some point in the past. So he's awesome. But I definitely want to make sure that we get kind of some insight into, I think, something that's near and dear to your heart, which is 360 and Dev at 360anddev.com.
Yes.
And we're in like prime conference season right now. So this falls in line. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So 360 and Dev is an Android conference in Denver where I live. And it's basically kind of like the 2 months after I.O. where a lot of developers come and they talk about the technology that's announced at I.O. I mean, you've got 2 months to actually play with it and kind of share like, oh, you know, if you take this API but use this flag and then put it together, like how can you effectively use it in your app? But of course, we also have a lot of content that's not necessarily fresh from I.O.'s, things that have been around for a long time. So it's a, well, of course, I run it, so I think it's an excellent Android conference. And a lot of the times where everyone will come to I.O., but you don't necessarily get a ticket. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a lottery system if you want to come buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. And previous years, we actually have a lot of Googlers coming out as well because they are usually super busy before I.O.
Yeah.
And they don't really have any chance to go beyond just the announcement. So this is also a good time frame for them to actually come out and meet the community and get feedback on like people play with it and say, oh yeah, constraint layout is great, but so they can actually get some feedback after people have some chance to actually look deeper into the API and whatnot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And your community is so great.
It really is. It really is. And we're going to experience this firsthand next week. That's one of the things I personally love about going to Google I.O. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like 360 and Dev is a kind of an extension of what you get at I.O., expanded on that information. Well, almost like that information, but seasoned a couple of months.
Well, I'm also not with like thousands and thousands of people. It's more enough that by the, like, it's a 2-day conference, so by the end of it, you actually feel like you not know most of the people, but the faces look familiar and you're actually making new friends versus I.O. is you're just rushing from like session to session. Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
Little camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weekend camp.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And before we get into our I.O. preview, which is kind of what we're going to start off with today, I did want to mention sketchnoting, which I follow you on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of sketch notes and I don't know how you do it, to be honest. I look at this and it's so organized and it's so unique. And like, how did you learn how to do that? And where does that come from?
What's going on ahead of you? Because that's the hard part.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of things. I saw someone do it like a long time ago, actually, maybe more than 6 years ago. And I thought that was amazing. And I tried to do it, but it didn't work. I think I was too hung up on drawing. I really wanted to draw and that's the reason why I'm a developer, right? I don't actually know how to draw. And then later, I actually got a book a few years later where it showed many different styles of sketchnoting. I started seeing people, it's not about drawing, really. It's more about having information that's organized in like a two-dimensional space, right? So that's one thing, like figuring out that, I don't have to draw all the time. It's more like putting in notes. And the second piece of it is, how do you focus and how do you actually absorb the content and then digest it and then write it down? I actually got my training wheels with live tweeting.
Oh, okay.
It's a very similar exercise.
That's really true.
Feed, almost. Yeah,
right. That's true. I didn't even think about it that way. I mean, I practice that when I'm like at events and
exactly.
stuff. Exactly. I have to be able to listen and analyze while also listening for what's coming up next.
Right. So, I mean, there are definitely tricks that I use. So, for example, if it's a 30-minute talk, so I know if I'm 15 minutes in, I should have half of the page filled instead of the whole page because I will still have material to go through. If there's an outline in the beginning, then I can kind of structure it so that I know there will be 3 sections and then I can partition the page that way. Sometimes there's not enough structure, so I end up having quotes. So I write down something interesting, which is exactly what I do when I live tweet, right? When you hear something interesting, you type it in. So I write it down and then I put a speech bubble around it.
Right.
So it's a lot of it is really almost like improv.
Yeah.
You never know.
It feels that way.
You never know what comes out when you go into a talk. And there are definitely times, of course, I only publish the ones that works out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't work and I'm like, okay, the new page.
Even the best artists in the world have like drafts that don't go anywhere.
What's your medium? What are you using for sketchnoting?
Pen and paper.
So
old school.
Oh, that's, you're using pen and paper. Okay, yeah. I was wondering, like, what Android app are you using?
I know, right?
Actually, I'm like, that looks so good. We need to show all the people with iPad Pros what's going on here.
Actually, people ask me, and then when I say pen and paper, they search on Google Play. They thought this
pen
was an app called pen and paper.
Play.google.com.
Well, there is an app called Paper on iOS.
Yes.
So I don't, you know, it makes sense, but I was like, how do I explain to them that this is not an app? Like, you know, like batteries and
right,
ink
right.
and like inside little tubes.
What is this technology you speak of? Pen and paper?
Right, right.
This is never heard of this.
I actually use an app on the phone called Cam Scanner.
Yeah, to scan it.
It's actually Mike Wolfson that got me into that app. So usually most people use it to scan receipts,
right.
But the great thing is it straightens it and it whitens it. So it comes out looking like I did it digitally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's awesome.
That's awesome. Hmm. Very cool. I'm happy that I asked you about that. Because
also a good tip for anybody who bullet journals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna sign. I know that's a whole.
Let's not go there. I know. Over the whole show.
I know.
I don't actually do it, but I watch YouTube video of other people doing it and just like drew.
It's an art form.
Apparently you need to get a bullet journal then. That's what it sounds like. That's Christmas gift. Maybe they'll hand them out.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So anyways, thank you for coming on. It's really great to have you up here to give your insight on Android and all things Android, especially this particular episode, because we are going to be talking a lot about Google I.O., kind of doing a little bit of a preview of what's to come, what we think is going to come. We also have Google's evolving podcast strategy. We missed this news last week, and it's actually really interesting. Facebook's mobile app announcements from F8. Google Tasks is a newish app that you can get. And a whole lot more. But let's start off with Google I.O. preview. I look forward to this. There are many like different points throughout the year after doing All About Android for years now, and you guys can attest to this. There are certain episodes that are always fun to look forward to, and this is one of those because we think we're so smart. And then after Google I.O., then we take a look at what we thought was going to happen, and we realize we aren't very smart at all. But hey, it's all based on rumors at this point. So, you know, it happens next week. Google I.O. is next week. And programming note, just real quick here, no live show next week. Mm-mm. I'm sorry. We're going to actually be interviewing some folks. I will just throw that out there. Some Google folks from the show. This and that recording happens on Wednesday. So the episode is going to publish to your podcast feeds either Thursday early or late Wednesday. Not really quite sure when, but. That's kind of programming note from Google I.O. Flo and I are going to be there.
Here's the question, though. Are you going to make the Googlers that you're talking to pick apps for the arena?
I'm guessing it's probably going to be a little bit of a different episode.
I know.
Just throwing that out there. Maybe we will still taste an Oreo because I feel like that's kind of a key component of the show.
Yes.
So we'll figure that out.
And last year we got teased with Oreos too.
Yeah, I know. So. It would have worked perfectly. But anyways, what do we think we're going to see at Google I.O. this year? I mean, we've got the schedule to pull from. You know, everybody's excited about what we're going to see. There have been a lot of rumors. I'm guaranteed we're going to see Android P developments, right? We're going to see a developer preview too. Have you been using Android P at all? Have you gotten in on the early developer preview?
No, I think part of it is I only have one phone that is, I can download it and I want my phone to work.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm traveling because I don't have a good sense of direction. So I
depend
on it, right? I would be completely lost without it.
You'd be stranded.
I mean, the previous year, they actually at I.O., I got like the Nexus 9 tablet and that was on their list of OTAs. Yeah. And that was great because then my phone, I can have a stable version of Android that I can use as a phone and then I can have that as my development device. This time I didn't like buy an extra phone so that I can have a stable phone as my primary phone. So I didn't do it yet.
And not only that, there is no lower end device to install Android P on. It's like Pixel devices, period. So you're spending a lot if you want to have an extra device in order to do that.
Best Buy right now. I'm just looking today for random reasons.
So what do we, is there anything that we've heard in the assistant? You want improvements to assistant?
I just think the whole darn thing is going to be revolved around the assistant. We've been hearing about it the last 2 years. There's been a big chunk of the keynote. Sundar talking about what a really big role AI is going to play in the future of Google's products. Mm-hmm. And I'm living it. I've got a Google Home that announces to me every time somebody rings my doorbell. Like, that is literally what I live in right now.
How big is your house?
So I live in a townhouse. Okay. I live in a townhouse. And I'm doing a lot more smart home stuff these days. Okay.
Wait a minute, though. So the Google Home tells you when someone rings your doorbell.
Yes, and... Oh, wait. It gets better. Okay. Hold on. The Nest Hello, which is what does this, recognizes our faces because it uses machine learning, and I pay for that. So it announces if it's me or my husband ringing the doorbell, or like somebody that we know, like a mailman.
Time out. You have a doorbell,
yes,
and then the Google Home announces that the doorbell has been rung, which is the primary function of the doorbell, correct?
Yes. Okay. But it echoes throughout the house. So then you have the two downstairs and the one upstairs going, there's somebody at the door. And it's like this echo throughout the entire house.
The purpose of the doorbell to announce that there's somebody at the house?
Yes, but it tells me who is at the door. Exactly.
Ron, welcome to Smart Home 2018.
Anyway, yes, it's a perfect allegory for Smart Home.
But wait a minute. So then the doorbell will recognize if it's you or your husband. Flo, how often do you ring your doorbell?
Well, when I'm reviewing something,
good point.
But if it's like a family member, I can store their face and then the doorbell will tell you.
I actually can think of one case where I would like to have something like that, which is distinguishing a real person versus UPS dropping off something.
Yeah. Sure.
Because sometimes they'll ring just to make sure that you know something is there. So I don't want to rush if it's just a box waiting for me when I open the door versus a person that's impatiently waiting. So that would be nice.
But we're talking about facial recognition, which is, again, a big part of this AI push on Google's part. Because, hello, Nest and Google are like this.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of, we have Google Thread, which works throughout the whole like Nest ecosystem, which is their own little proprietary protocol that a lot of people don't really talk about. And that makes everything seamless in the house. And then when you add a Google Home into the mix, it's your home's ecosystem now. It's no longer just on the smartphone.
Well, so speaking of the assistant and the Google Home, something that I think we'll see at this will be the evolution that we started to see at CES of Google Homes with displays.
So the smart
displays. Yes, that's right. The smart display. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. This is the concept of smart displays. And, you know, we've seen OEMs, you know, kind of have prototypes or early models. I'm very curious what Google's support of this will be and how developers can use the Google Assistant and create experiences that are visual via a smart display like that. I think, you know, and while, you know, it's hard with Google I/O because I know we want to we want to lean on product. I want the new phone. I want the new Google, whatever the Chrome. Chromecast and whatever the TV device is going to be, whatever. But remember, this is a developers conference. Mm-hmm. So if they do announce any hardware, it's going to be like, here is new hardware that will be available later this year, right? Like, that's what we've seen historically. Much like the rumored Android TV dongle that we see there on the display for those watching at home. If they announce a product, I doubt it will be available at I/O. I think it will be, you know, this is how developers can support this product. But I really think smart displays are going to be something on the agenda.
Yep, because Lenovo and LG they both announced ones at CES. We're still waiting for those to kind of hit the market. Mm-hmm. Those are coming soon. I have no idea what that user interface is going to be like or how that's going to change how I'm using the assistant. I imagine it'll just be an extension of what's going on the phone. A little screen that pops up.
And from what I understand, smart displays based in a roundabout sort of way almost directly on Android things. And apparently at Google I/O, there's 8 sessions on Android things.
Wow.
And it's still in a developer preview after 2 years. So that almost makes it feel like a certainty that we're going to see some sort of like maybe official kind of move into Android things. 2 years. Yeah. You know, 2 years of developer preview, 8 sessions devoted to it. They're probably gearing up for some.
And those things, what do those things do?
Smart
machine
displays.
Learning.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Assistant all over the place.
It's all over the place.
Heading back to Android P really quick before we move on. Material Design 2, we know we're going to see a lot about that. We're already kind of starting to see that. Maybe a little bit more dialogue around what we're looking at and why, you know, because Google likes to think very highly about its kind of ethos on why it chose material design years ago when Matias Duarte showed it off on stage. It was very high level thinking on like, we chose this because of, you know, the organic overlay and, you know, all this stuff. So Google's going to have a good descriptor around what material design is.
Why did we curve the
now?
Yes.
That's all I want to know. Why did we curve the corners?
Why the drop shadow? Gestures. Also something called Assistant Slices API, which apparently is surfacing app content outside of the app itself, possibly inside of a notification.
That sounds hot. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It sounds great. I'm excited.
I'm sure that does sound
hot. I get
hot.
Really excited about this stuff. And it's, you know, it's like speed dating.
It's Android. Yeah, it's kind of like, Android is kind of like speed dating.
Yes, it is.
what else? Flutter SDK. Well, talk about things that, like, if you look at the schedule and the hints that it drops, the Flutter SDK has 6 sessions devoted to it. Are you familiar with I have to imagine you are way more familiar with the Flutter SDK and all of its implications than I am, Mr. Non-Developer. So what can you tell us about this, and are you excited for it?
Yeah, well, I am very excited, but I have to put a disclaimer that the only thing I've done is compile the Hello World, so I didn't go too deep on it. So Flutter is actually, there's a lot of these kind of like holy grail solution where you write once and then you can deploy it on multiple platforms.
Okay.
So Flutter is another incarnation of that where you can write it in Dart, which is a Google language, and then you can compile it to both iOS and Android. Mm-hmm. And the way it's done is slightly different from React Native and other framework in the sense that you actually, instead of trying to compile it and use the native widget, all that app is just one single display, one canvas, what we call in Android, and it draws everything and it basically pretends to be a button. Well, not pretend, but, you know, instead of using an Android button, it draws an Android button.
Okay.
So that it those the pixels on the screen looks like a button, and when you click on it, it emulates
the actions.
The actions.
Expect,
So in that sense, you can get pretty much very high performance because you don't have to actually go back to the system and say, hello, have a button. And then the system is like, hey, someone clicked on it. So there's no back and forth.
Right.
So in terms of performance, I'm very excited about that because, for example, React, I don't know how deep you all want to know about this, but React is run on a JavaScript engine, which means that it's interpreted, so that back and forth tends to be slow. So that part is very exciting because it's actually a cross-platform solution that have the performance that you will want for animation, for like scrolling a long list. Like if you run a JavaScript-based thing and you have thousands of items scrolling, it just doesn't have the kind of smooth scroll that you will want to have a native feel. So they have exactly the same way of doing things on iOS and Android. And it's very interesting because the way they layer things. So there's everything is a widget. And then kind of at the last level, it either is a Cupertino widget, which is an iOS themed, versus a material one.
Oh, okay.
So and there's a lot of exciting things for developers in terms of development speed and whatnot. But I mostly find it promising because I think it actually will have the level of performance that you will need to have an app that is actually nice to use versus, there's an app that I can develop quickly, but it's not delightful to use, then what's the point?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's interesting, I read Ron Amadio from Ars Technica wrote about this, and he posits that Fuchsia, which is that mystery OS that we've been hearing now for a couple of years, and, you know, slowly, like it was installed on a Pixelbook and showed off, but it's really early stages. He basically posits that Fuchsia will continue its development and maybe be ready for prime time in some way in 2020. Getting the developer support for Flutter would be one step in that alternate universe, because Flutter is the app platform for Fuchsia. And so the idea being, or at least one way to interpret that could be, that, you know, maybe at some point in the future, Fuchsia is like some sort of a replacement for Android when all that's built up. And getting developer support for Flutter now is one way to kind of lay the groundwork for that, so to speak.
Is it for Android or is it for...
Or is it for Chrome?
Or is it for Chrome?
I
really feel like Android and Chrome are two different...
Yeah. Well, I feel that way too, but I feel like Google might not.
But I also feel like Google would know better. I mean, just based on like the fact that Apple hasn't like ham-fisted OS 10 or whatever into the iPhone interface, I feel is the same reason that Google wouldn't do that sort of thing with, because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work to have a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah. Well,
unless it's a beanie.
Beanie's the only way.
Beanies are scarves. The only things that can be one size fits all.
I challenge that though, Flo. Okay. Actually, I think at some point in our future, an OS that is one size fits all across mobile, tablet, desktop can exist. Whether or not that can exist by bolting it on to an existing mobile OS or a desktop OS, I agree with you. That doesn't work. But if you imagine it from the ground up, I imagine that there's got to be a way to, because they're, again, I said these are just computers in our hands.
Yeah, true. And
I think taking OS X or Windows or whatever it is, and then trying to cram that into a phone, or taking iOS or Android and expanding it to a display device for a desktop, isn't the way to go. But maybe Fuchsia is. Maybe it's the way, maybe they dreamt it from a desktop down approach or whatever, and it runs Android apps because they figured it out. I don't know. I'm an eternal optimist, but I don't think it's impossible.
So. Yeah. Yes. Good points on both sides. So,
thank you, diplomatic Jason. Yes.
Obviously, we're going to know more after Google I.O. If there are all of these sessions devoted to it, we'll get a better understanding of how Google feels about it.
No one's counting, but yes.
Yes. Yeah? Sorry. I just want to make all of you excited out there.
This time next week, we're going to know everything.
It's true.
And we won't be able to talk about it on this show.
Because there's no show next week.
Yeah, there's no.
We record the next day.
No live show.
Anyways, we already kind of talked a little bit about the Android TV stick. That's a rumor. It passed through FCC. I don't think so.
I don't think we're going to see it because of that reason that they're not going to release a product. I mean, I'll eat my hat if I'm wrong. But I'll eat my beanie, but I think that a pass through FCC is great. We might see a summer launch or closer to the end of summer for it, but it's not going to happen at I.O.
October.
Could happen. Maybe we'll find out. Well, we will find out more about Android TV. There's what's new in Android TV, I believe. So maybe there's an announcement around that would indicate a little bit more about what we'll see.
They could announce that it's coming, but it'll be available at the end of the summer, and this is how developers can do their sort of thing.
That's kind of what they did with the standalone VR headset, similar to that, where it was like, hey, by the way, this is a thing that does exist. We're confirming, what the rumors have said, but we don't have an actual announcement of a product yet. But this is on the horizon. Wear OS. Do you remember what Wear OS is? Oh, it's so unfortunate, but so true.
Poor, unfortunate.
Although there are a lot of people that we hear about in email that email us that say, hey, I'm still, all in on the Wear OS thing. But there's, yet again, there's also a what's new in Wear OS session. So maybe there's some news to be found there.
Android, what is this, Android Auto on iOS?
So Android I.O. 2018 app for iOS is teasing a brand new media experience for Android Auto. So it's a little convoluted there. But basically, some of the sessions are saying that there's a new media experience to announce around Android Auto. So some sort of development in Android Auto. In Denver, where you're here from, do you have an Android Auto headset?
No.
Or a car. Yeah.
No, I bought my Subaru before this whole thing happened.
Yeah, so did I.
Cabot.
I used it on the phone.
Yeah, see, I never think to use it on the phone. I probably should.
What? How? There's a standalone. Yeah, you can use it as a standalone, and it turns on when it connects to the Bluetooth in your car.
Oh,
I couldn't even snap it on.
I couldn't get the Bluetooth auto connect to my Subaru, so Bluetooth, not reliable.
I hear you. Chat, which we talked about recently. I'm sure there's going to be, I hope anyways, that there's going to be some sort of attention given to chat and its implications. And we talked all about this, I think it was last week.
That better be a hallmark part of it. Like if here is the messaging plan. Like, that's what I'm dying to hear, to see what Chad is, and then the official approach to RCS and all that sort of stuff.
Well, but how many times can you cry a wolf? I mean, it's always
that's
it's
the
one
question.
Thing. It's going to be the one.
Oh, man, this is just going to be the death of Google. It's like the messaging challenge year after year after year. It already has proven to be that way.
Yeah.
But sounds promising. Their solution this time sounds promising. I know I've said that before. mid-range Pixel, I doubt that's going to happen. I mean,
October.
Why would, yeah, that's an October thing. That's not a Google I.O. thing, I don't think.
Yep. What about, what is this Google Yeti?
This was the game console idea.
Yes.
The cloud-based game console actual like hardware game service.
Oh, thing. They might explain it because they did that last year. Again, mm-hmm. kind of in this organizational structure where we talked about YouTube stuff at the end, mm-hmm. and that's how we learned about Super Chat.
Everyone was
like,
Super Chat is how you
tip your music streams that are running 24/7 on YouTube, everyone. So tip your YouTube
but that's
music
not,
streamers.
But what's so funny is that that's not like that circle. Yes, that's what it is. That's not what it was rolled out for. It was a way to tip the creators or to monetize chatting in live stream. And it's fascinating that it's now the source for tipping DJ, you know, like streamers. Like, I think that's
tip it your created DJ. For one.
Yeah, created for one thing and is being applied in a different manner. That's fascinating. So, yeah.
Listen, I'm just tossing money left and right to all that free content I'm getting. So, you know.
You're paying your creators.
Yeah. But on that YouTube note, YouTube Remix.
Yeah.
You know,
which
we were
talked
talking
about again last
talking
week.
Talking about that. So it's possibly inevitable that this will be the gavel on the table that goes,
I don't know.
This
I
is what's not. Happening, everyone.
Yeah, we'll certainly see. Are you a Google Play Music user?
Actually, no.
Spotify?
Yeah.
It's a lot of people using Spotify.
Yeah.
I'm just not a Spotify user. I haven't really spent much time with
me
it.
Either.
I think it's almost just like the first thing you use and it works. So
yeah, right.
You know, just
everything's there.
Yeah.
The app.
Not, you know, there's some artists.
I guess everything's never there all the time on all of the services, but everything's mostly
you know,
there.
We function. You know, we got through life without music streaming services, and now we have them. So we do what we can.
But I won't get through life without my personally uploaded library of music.
I know.
I know.
That's a thing.
That's what I would miss if Play Music goes away.
Google I.O. is going to be... It's going to be interesting. And it's ending earlier this year earlier in the week. So we're not going until Friday. We've got a midweek. And also what's interesting to know is Build is also happening next week, which
yes.
I know is not our wheelhouse here on All About Android, but
it's an interesting collision.
It's an interesting collision. It's going to be a really busy week for us tech journalists. So, you know, whatever you want to, positive energy you want to put in the world, really, all of us would appreciate it from the Microsoft to the Google side. Even some of the Apple coverers in between. Journalists, not coverers. What does that word?
Coverers.
New word.
Works for me. Cool. But no matter what, I think we're all excited for Google I.O. if you have
sure.
it.
Sure. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. I can't wait for that conference sunburn. You know,
we might not get it because it's actually been a little chilly lately. So
it's going to warm up, though.
I'm hoping. I do want to point out to Ron very quickly that on the I/O schedule there was mention of a Market Street like thing going, like Market Street parade of some sort. Ah, shucks, I should have looked it up before I like came on the show. But I just want you to know. Ron,
oh, so there's a parade on our birthday.
There's some Disney referencing happening in the Google I/O schedule,
and it's a pageantry on our birthday. Maybe it's for us.
Maybe.
Probably so. Yes. yes. For those who don't know,
next
Wednesday.
There's a party for me.
Next Wednesday. Actually, Google is holding Google I/O for you and Ron.
Yes.
In celebration of your birthday on Wednesday, which is weird because they didn't give you a ticket, Ron.
Which is weird. They didn't invite me. Yeah. I mean, it's nice that I'm looking forward to the shout out from Sundar on stage, but yeah.
And by the way, happy birthday to Ron. And all right, let's take a break. We'll thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into some other non-IO related news. Before we do that, let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is LegalZoom. I'm a big fan of LegalZoom, been using them for years, and there's just a number of reasons why you should check them out. It's a fact of life. Attorneys are expensive. You're likely to pay around $300 an hour. That's just one reason why smart business owners turn to LegalZoom. Over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses with LLCs, incorporation, and a whole lot more. Even after your business is set up, LegalZoom is there to help you out. Things like lease agreements, changing tax laws. You never quite know where they're, what direction they're heading. LegalZoom can help. Contract reviews, all part of running your business, but these are exactly the kinds of legal hurdles that take time and effort away from growing your business. And growing your business is the most important thing. That's why LegalZoom created their business legal plan. With it, you get legal advice for your business from vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in every state. You'll also receive access to NDAs and more. The best part is you won't get charged by the hour, since LegalZoom is not a law firm. Instead, you just pay one low upfront price. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com now. You'll get special savings when you enter promo code AAA in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. That's LegalZoom.com, and enter promo code AAA for special savings. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. Victor, I do not want you to not have your opportunity, so it's time for the news.
Jason can't live without his Google Play Music, but I can't live without Android news.
Oh, yeah, who can?
That's right. Nobody can live without this Android news.
Who can live without Google, without Google Android news and Alphabet and all the things we talk about on this show? Google, so we missed this last week, and then I did This Week in Google the day later, and I was like, how did this not end up in the show? Because it's actually really interesting. Google's plans.
It's super interesting, but it's not Android specific, though. I do think it's interesting because of what we do and what we are, but it's not really Android. But
well, they make some comments that allude to apps, but
it's adjacent. It's adjacent, but yes. Let's talk
adjacent,
about it.
Yes. It's Android adjacent.
Android adjacent.
Not Jason, Android adjacent. Google has plans to change its podcast strategy. If you haven't read it by now, Pacific Content has published a 5-part series that dives into
Podcast Network, by the way.
All of this in detail. Thank you for that. I'll have to look up what shows they're doing. To be separate from Google Play Music's podcast feature. So right now in Google Play Music, we have the podcast feature. I don't use it. I use Pocket Casts.
I don't use it.
No. Pocket Cast all the way.
Yeah. Pocket Cast. Yeah.
And I feel like to some degree, like, okay, great. It's nice that Google has an official podcast offering of some sort, but it's really kind of underwhelming. There's no video capability. It's sure, it's in Play Music, which who would think to look into something called Play Music to find it? I guess it's audio, so that's probably why they put it there. But it feels like hidden. It feels not that easily accessible.
Hey guys, don't forget to go to the iTunes store right after this and make sure to leave a review, because that really helps us get some visibility so people can find this podcast.
That's true, because what is it, like 80% of podcast listenership comes from iOS devices, yes. And Google realized this. And so now they're planning to kind of focus a little bit more on their strategy. They say making podcasts in search a first-class citizen, in the sense mm-hmm. that when you search for podcasts, those would be embedded in your search results.
Like a card.
Yeah.
Like a card in the search results.
Yeah, exactly. And mm-hmm. and actually, they're working out ways to pick apart the actual spoken word that's within a podcast. So up until now, podcast has just been this recorded audio or video. And if you want to search any of the stuff that we're talking about, like, that's impossible. It's just search for the name of the podcast or the people on it and pull it. But
Machine learning.
They've spent all this time like doing transcripts on YouTube. If you go to YouTube now, everything's like automatically transcribed now. And it's really good.
Yep. Yeah.
Do you guys remember when we were surprised by this in Google Voice? Sorry.
I'm just going to say that was part of the reason why we ended up having a YouTube channel versus podcast. I feel like the way people consume the two are very different. And podcast is kind of something that's off the side. You know, you listen to it in the car and then you forgot about it. You will not go rate it or share it or actually click on the links that was mentioned, because you kind of click it, you're
like
in the
radio.
Car.
It's like radio.
Right. Yeah, versus when we have a YouTube channel, then we can put in the show note and you're watching it and the show note's right there, so you can actually follow up, and so you will. So I feel like, I'm not sure if this is going to change that dynamic, but it's very different.
Yeah, it certainly help it. They're talking about, you know, possibly including traditional podcast app features. Like, I guess what I'm wondering, like, in tying this in with the rumor that we talked about, well, just a few minutes ago, right before the break, and then in more detail last week from Droid Life about Google Play Music going away in lieu of YouTube, is that, is this all happening at the same time for a reason?
Yes.
Is Play Music and the de-emphasis on Play Music still a rumor, by the way, but I mean, that's currently where Google's podcast effort resides. And if that's going away, Google refocuses on something new. Do they refocus on a new podcast app, or is this entirely search-based?
Yeah, and I think you could be onto something, but I think it's generous to say that their podcast effort exists within Google Play Music. They added podcasts and then walked away from it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, they haven't really done anything to help it, much like Apple. I mean, as a podcaster, you know, with Apple being one of the biggest source of podcast listeners, it's amazing how little Apple has done for podcasts in the span of 10 years. I mean, very little. Only until recently did they start waking up to it. And that's only for current iOS users. It doesn't help, you know, down the line. But that's another discussion for another time. But the timing of this could be really interesting and maybe revealed at Google I.O.
Yeah.
In terms of what the future of YouTube Music and Google Play Music, and if Google Play Music then becomes a relic, what happens to the podcast aspect? We a couple of weeks ago we talked about how they were integrating podcasts into the search app, remember, and they were kind of doing a more deeper kind of integration there, making it more natural to just the phone experience. But I think if they come out with podcast player like functionality, if they come out with an actual app, or just, you know, figure out how to make it native to the phone. I mean, if I'm Pocket Casts, if I'm Dogcatcher, if I'm all those Castbox, yeah, Android is great because there's this whole breeding ground of podcast apps out there that are options out there because there's no iTunes for Google for Android users. If Google steps in and does that, that's going to be huge for podcasters because it could increase their reach. As somebody who produces podcasts at a corporate level, it's very difficult to drive a subscribe button because it's iTunes and then a list of everything else.
Yes.
But if you just have that one Google link, that will be a lot easier, but it will also potentially decimate the podcast player app field on the Android side. So we got to watch this one very closely because it's in the nature of what we do. But it's going to be very interesting if this whole deep dive is true.
Mm-hmm. I do want to, I do feel like iTunes also, like, just Apple has a better way of editorializing what's going on in iTunes. Like, when you go to iTunes, it is a portal to all this entertainment that's offered on your iOS device. And what I have seen Apple do over the years is that they will spotlight, like, podcasts and podcast mm-hmm. hosts and things like that. I don't see a lot of that. I see spotlight.
Yeah,
but it's different.
They do it for apps, though.
They do it for apps.
Right,
do a great job with games. They do a great job with like a lot of the apps centered around like the best developed apps. You know, we have the Google Play Awards and all that. But when it comes to content is, I feel like there's a silo between the way like YouTube does content. It's so good at content and like the algorithm is there versus the way Google gives you content on Android and like other Google services. It's just a very different, there's a disparity. And I think that's why I've just, shoving it into YouTube, putting it over there where the resources already are makes a lot more sense.
Do you think podcasts end up in YouTube also?
Well, I don't know.
Because I mean that's kind of tied together by what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's that expanded kind of extra interactive
right.
content.
Actually, I mean,
which
one
is what podcast lacks.
Yeah, well, one very small thing I would like to see. Well, small. I mean, it's not there, so clearly it's difficult to do. But I would like if I hear something either on a podcast or on a radio show, and I want to share it, even like in a tweet or something. Like, I don't right now have a good way to do it because. Right, exactly. Because right now I have to be like scrambling and writing it down and then typing it all out. It's like. Sketch noting, I use a
screen recorder sometimes.
Oh, all right.
And so I'll like record the bit for like a friend, like if I'm listening to one of my self-help podcasts. And so I'll like send it to my friends on Instagram. But like I have to manually do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
That's so, a, that's
my
a hard
if you
process.
Listen to like a, you know, an hour long podcast mm-hmm. and at, I don't know, minute 35, there was this one tip that can help you make sure your succulents don't die, which is a problem for me right now. I don't know how to take care of my succulents. Actually, it didn't die. I just grow tall and never actually grow big. Anyway, sorry. Not the point. The point is, if someone have listened to something like that and wanted to point me to it, it's a lot of work to figure out which minute mark you are at.
Yeah.
Because you just listen to it.
It really is.
For an hour long, we humans don't have a good sense of where things are. So if something's just like that, either maybe they auto-transcribe it so that then at least I can
find the show and I search succulent and then I can jump right in, or when whoever is listening to, they can click the share button and then it generate a link.
Well,
that
yeah.
would be wonderful.
And I mean, that's part of what they're kind of alluding to here. If you have that deep understanding of what every one of us is saying inside the podcast and that becomes searchable.
Right.
Think about, you do a search for some particular topic that we talk about on this show. Somebody goes to Google and does a search for that. Not only does it pull back the show, it also knows where inside that show we talk about it. You click it, you jump right to that point in our show. Like, that's amazing for discovery.
No, they don't do it for YouTube yet.
So if they are doing
I should not be too hopeful.
Right. That's a really good point.
Because they already do transcript.
That's a very good point.
Right. That's a really good point.
So maybe I should hope for YouTube first and then podcast.
Well, I mean, what I think will be interesting to that point is that you got to imagine that they're positioning YouTube as their media delivery engine, right? And that it's not so much that it's video, it's just a media file. So I wonder if they pump a lot of this into whatever the new YouTube is, and that becomes the new entertainment platform. I don't know.
Right,
so,
right.
Time will tell. We'll find out.
It is
called YouTube. YouTube it is.
Although if it does happen for this show, what would be the first thing you'd search for?
Oh, man. What would people...
Goats.
Yeah, goats.
What about holy cow?
Possibly holy cow. Although it has its own it has its own results on YouTube already. So Google Glass, holy
Google
cow.
Glass, there you go.
It's unfortunate.
All right, Flo, you got the next one.
So very quickly, just because we were on the topic of smart home earlier and Google Home and all that. So I don't know if you guys were aware, but in the Google Home app, and actually I'm going to show you right here real quick on my phone, if Victor, you wouldn't mind going overhead just real quick. Yes. So here in the Google Home app, don't look at how much I haven't move today. If you go to the Explore tab, you will, let me turn down the brightness real quick. Sorry about that. You'll see all of these different
skills.
They're not skills. That's what Amazon calls theirs.
Okay.
But you can tap on it and you're supposed to be able to review it. Yeah, here we go. So now I can leave a review. If I want, and see how I feel about that. This is a really good thing that you want to take advantage of if you want to figure out how to get more out of whatever Assistant is offering. It'll show you like where these things work within Assistant. By rating them, that's a good way to kind of figure out, just like an app, is it worth dealing with? And I would just suggest, when you have some time, to go and kind of look through and
see
what... Yeah,
there's so many results in there. I mean, it's so hard to, like, keep track of.
There's good stuff in there. There's really good stuff in there.
Like, on one hand, it's what you want. You want something that does everything. But on the other hand, it really makes, like, discovery a real big challenge when it does everything. Because, yes, it does everything, but there is a certain syntax that needs to be followed in order for it to do those things.
Uh-huh. But, you see, Google is a search company.
Yeah.
And what they're very good at is search indexing things. And this particular Explore feature, like, you should definitely use it, because Amazon will make you do that for their skills. They'll make you search for 33,000 entries. And, I mean, Google's got, well, a fraction of that, but they're there, so you should go see what your assistant can do. Because let me tell you,
what can your assistant do for you?
I mean, after I go, let's talk about it, because I have been living with these things, and let me tell you, they can.
You're ready
you
to
can check on your flights. You can book flights. You can do all the, like. It's just it's.
But do you want
almost
to?
Over? No, it's fun. You can just do it. It's like I tweeted earlier this week, which I'm going to bring up this tweet, even though nobody got it, is that I feel like I live in the house from blank check after he deposited the check.
Yeah, see, I realized when I saw that tweet that was outside of my childhood
experience.
It was a kid
movie when I was a kid, where the kid gets like $1 million.
No, I remember it was a Disney movie. I keep wondering at what point I'm going to introduce that to my children, because it'll be a new movie for all of us, because I never saw it. So, and then I will understand your joke, and I'll go back to that tweet, and I will heart it.
Anyway.
Let's check out some app news, Victor. It's time for some apps. That's okay. I like that music, too.
Yeah, I really do.
I like that music as well.
Take two.
Take two.
I like the sound of the button being pressed.
Yes. It's like you're slapping the bass, man. All right, Ron, you got this one.
So, yeah, so there's been a lot of hubbub in the world of Google and apps and stuff like that because finally, after many, many years, Gmail is finally getting a much-needed redesign, and a lot of interesting things have come out of that. One of them is Google Tasks. Google Tasks has been buried in Gmail, but what they've done now, and it's been around for a couple of years on the website of things, but they've rolled out as part of the G Suite a Google Tasks app that is beautifully designed, dare say Material Design 2-esque. And it's a very nice, clean, white base, rounded corners kind of design of an app to basically help you manage your task list. It uses the bottom bar design design element that we've discussed so far up to this point. It's got an oval-shaped fab to add for adding a new task as opposed to a circle action button. And in the app, you can create tasks, you can create task lists, you can create subtasks within tasks. You can edit and manage those tasks. It's got a very clean drag-and-drop UI, and you can add details for tasks, due dates, reminders, all that fun stuff. You can't assign a time or a duration for a task. It's really kind of task list light. Basically, you can just add a task, when is it due, give some details, that's about it. And unfortunately, it doesn't integrate with Assistant. But for me, as a big GTD guy and somebody who's really into tasks, apps, and things like that, I was like, oh, this is great. In fact, I'm looking for a new one. Maybe this could be the one I'm going to use. Let me go see what the web experience is like.
Ah, yes. And so,
Victor, I provided a screenshot of my web experience I first started playing with it. I quickly ran to the web and I went to Google Tasks. And if you can pull up the screenshot, you can see what it looks like.
I discovered this today as well, by the way. I discovered this today as well. Yeah.
Material design, not.
And so that is that looks like Gmail circa 2006, yeah, I think.
This is bringing me back to my college years right here.
Yes, yeah. So while it's great that we get Material Design 2 touches with the app, maybe you could have done it on the web too, guys. I don't know, considering it's part of the G Suite.
Just a little.
Oh my goodness, that is so bad.
You can't even drag them, by the way. You have to like hit the little buttons.
Well, yes, because this is like ancient internet right here. Yeah. How did that slip through the cracks?
Now that said, what I do enjoy is that it is very much integrated. Like I added a task in the app. And I didn't even need to refresh. It just appeared on the list and on the web. So they're in sync. They're working. And then you can also reveal it in the Gmail skin. If you go into Gmail, you can full tasks and it pulls up a little mini task window in the lower right-hand corner, kind of like the chat, kind of like the Hangouts box. But man, I need a good desktop task app. And that's not pretty good for it.
I need some eye bleach after looking at that. Oof.
I know.
Bad.
So it's like, talk about yin and yang. It's like beautiful new Android app. 15-year-old web view. Cool. Awesome.
I mean, and that's just a reminder that Tasks has been around for a long time.
Oh my gosh.
And it has long been neglected. Like I remember in the early days of Android, Tasks was a thing, and I loved it because it was built into my Gmail on my desktop. And I really wanted Google to have a Tasks app because I relied on it, and the only way you could do that was third-party apps.
And 15 years later.
Good news now, you finally have it,
but
and
you don't
they
have
didn't
the
change anything else. Yeah. What was funny is I was showing my wife this app, and she was like, Google Tasks isn't new. That's in Gmail. I've been using it for years. And I was like, really? And she's the one who showed me the little pop-up in Gmail.
Are you using Inbox? Maybe that's why.
No, I don't use Inbox. I'm on regular Gmail. I just never used it.
Yeah, because when I saw the task thing, and I was like, oh, I guess I used to have it, and it disappeared. Yeah. No, it didn't disappear. I moved to Inbox.
Yeah.
I think it's still in Gmail itself.
And now in the new redesign, it's still in Gmail, and now it's redesigned to look really nice there, but the actual web page for it, that hurts a little bit. Like,
ouch.
How does that happen? I don't know. I'm not Google. All right, Flo. Facebook happened today,
yes,
apparently.
So I am talking about Facebook today. We're talking about Facebook. There are some interesting things coming to Android apps on your phone with regards to Facebook. Remember, they are a social network, and they do own the three big social networks of the world, which are Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. So there's a lot of stuff going on that.
Yeah.
So first things first, Facebook's F8 conference is happening right now, which you may have seen if you are on Twitter. Messenger is getting a big redesign coming soon that's aiming for simplicity. which I'm very curious to see what that's going to mean.
If that actually means simplicity.
Right. It includes a dark mode, a simplified bottom navigation bar. So there we go, kind of with that new Android scheme that we're heading towards. Ever-present camera video chat buttons up top. Of course, again, sort of inspiring us to use Facebook and its platform to talk to our friends and families. So, you know. Messenger Lite was really popular. I use Messenger Lite. It's the only thing of Messenger of Facebook that I do use. Mm-hmm. I have it on my phone, and it is, you know, I use it because it's relatively bare bones. So I imagine this is, you know, this is coming
maybe
out
somewhat influenced by that. Yeah. Maybe Facebook saw how many downloads or users were actually opting for Lite over the original experience.
You don't need everything on the phone with you all the time.
No.
You know? That's what computers are for. WhatsApp is also getting an update. It's getting support for group video calls in the coming months. So up to 4 participants will also include stickers in the
Yay.
Mix. Yay! You know, it's good for families. I guess if you're parents with 3 children, you're not going to be able to you know, Skype it or whatever, WhatsApp everybody at the same time. So that's kind of a bummer.
How
choose
can they
your children
do this
wisely.
You?
Which children do you love the most? I don't know. That's for you to decide. Instagram is also getting an update. I was very excited about this
See,
one.
This is why I gave it to you.
Yes. You know me so well. Instagram will be updating to include video chat support. I have a feeling I'm going to be using this because it's been kind of hard to get the iOS friends on Duo. Because it's, you know, another app. They've tried. They asked what I preferred, but
they already have Instagram on their phone.
And that's
Duo
how we talk
is a,
all
I got to convince
now.
You to do it.
Yeah, we don't text anymore. It takes too long. And with Google's messaging, nobody wants me to be the green bubble anymore. So, you know, one-on-one and group video chat will be added. Right now, they're testing the feature. Be released soon, which, you know, will happen before you even know it. Also, a redesigned explore page with group topics like animals and photography, etc. Kind of to help meant to make browsing for interesting content a little easier since right now it's kind of a sporadic mess of whatever it is that you like. Also, one thing that you didn't include in here is that Instagram Stories is going to soon have Spotify integration. So we were talking about screen recording, like the hot new thing to do now, I've noticed. I learned this from my millennial cousins, who are younger millennials than me, is that you record what you're listening to on Spotify with like a screen recorder app, and then you post it on your stories to like give people like a sense of vibe.
Wow, that brings back
it's like,
to,
this is my vibe.
Yeah. Winamp.
That song, Winamp.
Yes,
Winamp.
Ready?
It's just like Winamp.
Yeah.
I think this is week 2 in a row that we talked about Winamp on this show.
Did it,
we
was talk a big, about it? It was a big part of computer using.
Oh,
back
well,
then.
You listen, and then people know while you're listening.
Yes, and you would have like an RSS feed where it would update.
Yes.
Oh my God, it was so great. You would take screenshots of your, like, you know, anyway. But bringing it back.
Bringing back the
lump. Bringing it back. So lots of stuff coming from Facebook, of course, the social media giant.
Yes.
Granted, they're, you know.
So Instagram's getting video chat. I don't think of Instagram as a chat thing.
Boy,
now.
Are you?
Oh, it is.
Are you on
oh
a
my.
Not there?
Wow, I am in chat groups. I am in like Instagram direct messaging has eclipsed my Facebook messaging
second
usage.
Second to
actually.
Slack for me. I use Slack first for my personal.
Wow.
My personal network, and
I'm
then Instagram second.
Oh,
so
I can't. I have no. I have very few personal folks in Slack. It's mainly professional. A little bit of personal. I'm WhatsApp, Instagram, Slack. No, I'll give Slack and Instagram neck and neck, and then SMS. Yeah. So, yeah.
Instagram chat? Like no.
I use Slack for professional, but my family are all on WhatsApp.
Okay.
So mostly WhatsApp for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my fam's on, but you know, I just talked to my dad on there. It's just my dad.
Well, my family's in Hong Kong, and it's a different mom.
Yeah, my dad is overseas, so that's why we're using it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
All right, that's what Facebook's up to. And then real quick, before we get to an email here, further evidence that YouTube is nearing a big update related to YouTube Red. We talked a little bit last week about YouTube and, you know, upcoming changes and everything. How does that affect YouTube Red, which is kind of like the ad-free YouTube thing? Well, Android Police says that the new YouTube APK has an image showing YouTube Premium, so it might be labeled as premium, which kind of makes sense. It makes a whole lot more sense than Red. Red was one of those names that was like, Huh?
What does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
Exactly. Yeah, I just, and you know, there's a lot of like, there's, you know, it's red is not good. It's yeah. association with other things on the internet. And yeah. Okay.
Which is probably part of the reason why
I'm thinking about it and I'm just saying it. Yeah, I always mixed it up for the other thing. So,
and yeah, I guess there's also reminders in there to take a break because people are just watching too much video.
Netflix's version is, are you still watching this? YouTube will be, you need to go outside right now.
No more Logan Paul.
No.
Wait, he's not even doing his show anymore. So
good.
Yeah.
All right. Some emails. Ron, go.
Yes. Real quickly. Heard from our friend of the show, Chris from Poughkeepsie, writes in and says, long time watcher, first time emailer. Thanks, Chris. On my train home to Poughkeepsie from Grand Central, which is in Manhattan for those playing along at home, a man is using the Google Home VR headset. Kind of weird to see in the wild. And I got to say... seeing somebody in a VR headset on a train, that's a new one. I haven't seen it yet. Have you guys seen this in the wild yet?
Waiting for the plane. I figured I'd see it on the plane first. Yeah. So maybe when I go see the fam soon.
I've definitely heard and seen pictures that have been, you know, kind
but
of like
real
memes.
Life.
But I've never seen it in real life.
Right.
But I've seen the meme treatment of, oh, hey, check out this person I saw on the train wearing VR.
Which could be doctored.
So what's that?
Which could be doctored,
I suppose, or staged. You know, staged. Yeah, yeah. But if you're on there and you look over, if you're a fan of this show, it's not staged. It's real when you're sending it in. We trust you. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
Flo, you got the last email.
This one's from Michael from Tulsa. I heard your bit about RCS on last Tuesday's show. It sounds really good, especially that it's going to be built into my Samsung phone. Here's my question. Will third-party messaging apps on my S8 Plus use this RCS chat, or will I have to use Android or Samsung messaging? I love to use Mood Messenger. If I continue to use Mood, will I be able to make use of the RCS platform, or do I have to use the native messengers? Love the show. Thanks. So I recall vaguely... that RCS, you can only use it if the app supports it.
Right, yeah. And like, Google, I have a Android really good feeling does. that once this starts to really, well, A, once it's actually announced, and B, once it starts to kind of pick up steam and everything like that, that it will be up to the developers to, you know, bake in support for it. I don't see why they wouldn't. It would certainly behoove them to. It would behoove you to do this, developers. I don't see why they wouldn't. So it might not immediately, but of course they'll add that in eventually if they want their app to continue getting downloaded. So something to look forward to, I suppose.
Something to look forward to.
All right. We have reached
another
the point of the show. Yes. Here's another thing that we look forward to. It's the arena.
So many enter, but only Android Arena.
We're getting to re-record it where he does that. All About Android, episode number 366. That's what we had last week, twit.to/AAApoll366. And you placed your votes for your favorite app of the week. And
this is a close one, Jason. We're going to have to go to the next one. You have to go to the numbers, actually. If you can click on the 278 votes.
Yeah, because PUBG Mobile and Cam to Plan, both at 36%. Oof. If you click on the 278 votes right above the polls and right below the links.
Above PUBG Mobile?
Yeah, above PUBG. Yeah, right there.
There it is.
It'll pull up the actual numbers.
So PUBG Mobile got 99 votes. And scroll back up.
Classic.
And hit the down arrow. There it is. There you go. Cam to plan.
101 votes. Cam to Plan wins.
Is that the closest margin we've ever seen?
I don't know. We've seen pretty close, but that's pretty close too.
Two votes.
I was looking forward to a dance-off.
No dance-off. Not this time. Maybe next time we actually tie. And that was yours, right, Ron?
That was mine. Yes, it was.
Congratulations to Ron. He gets first place with Cam to Plan. Very good. PUBG Mobile, second place. See, it wasn't the ringer that you guys thought it was going to be.
It's crazy.
It is kind of crazy. Digit, third place at 19%, and New Day at 9%.
Listen, I was reaching for it.
You know what? Tomorrow's going to be a new day. It's all right.
So with those results, I hate the report. I don't question Wade County's math, in the chat room, but Wade has delivered the results up there after 17 weeks of the show. I'm currently in first place with 50 points, and the guests are in second place with 48 points. Jason, you're in third with 37 Ooh. Points, and this sounds a lot worse than it actually is. Flo's in last place with 33 points. So there's literally 17 points between first and last place, which I think is the highest margin we've had.
Yeah.
So, but it can all, if Flo comes in first place this week, she can be back in it. So it's not, it's
or
not, it's not a lost cause.
Can come in first place and help the guests finally knock Ron down to second place.
Yeah. I didn't prepare you for the pressure that is involved with the Android
especially
arena.
This year, because the guests have just, like, y'all have just been passing them out.
Yeah.
Cash.
Very good.
Very good apps. Yeah.
All right. Well, Flo, this does mean that you are first. So.
All right. So I figured in the because it's spring season for a lot of us right now. I know a lot of you are suffering from allergies, and let me dismiss some things before we get onto it. I know a lot of it a lot of us suffer from allergies, et cetera, yeah. et cetera, which is a bummer. But this has nothing to do with allergies.
Oh. Yeah, I was all ready for the
in
solution.
In fact, if you have allergies, you probably are not going to want to use this app because you're going to probably be staying indoors. So, excuse me. This is called Picture This, plant identification. It's a free app.
This is if you want to know the exact plant that makes you
yes.
sneeze.
Yes, and so what happened was when I got back from Kauai, which is a beautiful place on Earth, which is currently actually flooded because... crazy rains, 50 inches of rain. But we took it's crazy flooded. We took a lot of pictures of very interesting plants and things like that. You know, I've been going to the woods every weekend, just kind of taking drives up and taking pictures of the pretty trees and plants. So I thought I'd find an app that could kind of, you know, help me learn these things that I'm saying. So this is called Picture This. And Victor, if you wouldn't mind while I queue up to go back to the Play Store page. Thank you. I'm going to find us an example so that we can look at it. So here we go. Back to the overhead. Thank you, Victor. Sorry about that. So we've got here some pretty pictures of pine redwoods. And so what I did is I loaded up from my gallery pictures that I had taken. And just kind of move this around to where you think the detail would really help this machine know what it's saying here. And then you just kind of accept it and wait for it to do its magic, much like you would on, you know, Bixby or Google Lens, right? And then it'll give you a couple of different options. And if there's no match, then you can go in and you can ask for help from the community. Which this has a very bustling community, by the way. This app is also on iOS, and I've been seeing a lot of my pals actually posting screenshots to Instagram stories from this app. So because, you know, they're finding out whatever's going on. Or you can suggest a name, either by its Latin name or by its common name to identify it. Let me try this real quick with something that is going to work, if you just want to. Give me a quick second. So this free app, just to kind of riff here. It's a free app. It is pretty simple. It's easy to use. It'll give you suggestions as you need. Let's see how it does with this carnivore over here. Carnivore. So this is a carnivorous plant. This was taken in Sebastopol, by the way, at the California Carnivores, in case anybody wants to know where to get carnivorous plants in Sonoma County.
Will they eat you?
No, but they will eat flies and crane flies and all those other sorts of things.
That's okay. I don't like flies.
So let's see if they'll identify this. Let's see. Ooh, swamp pitcher plant, macuna. Oh, I think it's this one. Yes. I'm wrong. It's not. Anyway, but you can choose...
Find a close match or whatever.
Find a close match, kind of help the algorithm, add a comment if you need to. Yeah.
Swamp pitcher plant.
Yes. And when you are part of the community, by the way, it posts your name randomly. So my name is Sad Rose, which really, if you think about it, is very, very, very low.
Sad.
Anyway.
Don't end your review on a downer.
Anyway. picture this. It's been around for a couple of years. It's a very popular app. If you're into being outside and you don't have allergies, maybe this is a fun app to carry you into the spring. And, you know, get out there. Take a nature walk. Just kind of like, although every time I bring any feel-good apps to this arena,
yeah, people really don't want to feel good.
So maybe, I don't know, if you're feeling good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I experience that too when I bring feel-good apps. You just never know what you're going to get, though.
It's true.
You never know what you're going to get.
It's true.
So it's called Picture This, one word, Picture This, Plant Identification, and that is free. Thank you, Flo. I will show off my app, and actually, my app, it's called Busy Kid. So, you know, those of you who don't have children, you're going to tune out immediately. But that's okay, because those of you who do and are trying to figure out how you incentivize your kids to, like, do chores and work around the house, this is one way to do it. And I'm interested in the approach here. By the way, we actually interviewed Greg Merced, who's the founder of Busy Kid, on Tech News Weekly back on episode 25. So that's how this kind of first came on my radar. And it's an interesting approach to kind of monetizing the work that is to be done around your home and pulling your kid into the experience and also showing them, giving them some sort of sense of responsibility around money, which is kind of what it's all about. So you can see here, this is the Howell family. I've got the free plan here. I'm not paying for the full plan. The full plan is $14.95 per year. You can try it out for free for 30 days. But so I'm the parent, right? So I can log in as myself. My super secret password, which no one will ever guess, is 1234. There we go. And that allows me to go in. This is my dashboard. And this is my daughter, Lucy. And I also set up, you know, an account for her, which I'll show off in a second. If your kid has a phone of their own, the idea is that you would install this app on their phone or their tablet or whatever. And they can go in here and kind of see what their money-making options are or what their responsibilities are. And if they hold those responsibilities, they end up getting paid. And I'll talk about that in a second. But basically, at this point, this is telling me that Lucy has done enough work to earn a dollar. Payout is every Friday. Every Friday is payday, as far as Busy Kid is concerned. And I could go in here and, you know, kind of track what she's assigned to do. Is she assigned to make her bed on a weekly basis? Great. She does that. She gets a buck. Is she assigned to load the dishwasher on a daily basis? Every time she does that, she gets 50 cents. All that kind of stuff. And you can add, you know, new activities to it. By the way, she apparently watered the indoor plants. That was worth a dollar. It automatically approves it, but I can go in there and disapprove it if I find that they weren't watered and retract that dollar,
nice.
Right? So it gives you a little bit of a, yes, I see what you did there. If she's doing particularly good, you could send a bonus. You just add a little extra money there. You add a note, and it's just kind of an interesting approach. Now, let's switch. I'm going to sign out of my account.
Reminds me of my chore calendar when I was a kid.
Exactly.
I had stamps and not money.
Lucy's super secret pin. We'll go ahead and enter that in, and we'll go in here. So if my daughter had this installed on her device, this is what she would have. She would have her balance, $1, paid on May 4th. She could move that, and the idea behind that is that you can actually set this up to transfer into different categories. Are you saving this money? Are you planning to spend it? Are you planning to invest it? You can share it. So that's like if you want to give it to like a charity or whatever, you can set that up. But there's also integrated investing in here if you want to like teach them how to use the stock market.
Oh my gosh.
So that they can buy a stock and follow its progress and stuff like that, so they can use their money in different ways. But essentially, they go down here and they can see, oh, you know, I need to make my bed. Hey, I did that. They tap, I did that. That then sends a message to me as the parent to tell me, hey, they did it. I can check it. And if they did, I can give them their payout.
I did it.
I did it.
I like that.
And yeah, so she's made her bed and she's watered her indoor plants. Right now, $2 unless I decide to retract it. It's just kind of an interesting way to kind of, I don't know, teach kids about money, which I feel like very often kids don't learn how to be responsible or in today's modern age. Like we do so much with money now that is very digital. It's very, you know, it's not tangible. We don't really carry around cash as much as we used to. It's all kind of in this world of digitalness. And so a part of this is that you can actually, for like, I think it's like $5.46, you can give your kid a Busy Kid branded Visa card that has access to this money. So then they learn how to use their card when they go to Target to buy whatever that thing is that they want to get at Target.
Yeah, right.
And they just kind of get into a point of being able to manage the money on their own. And you can help guide them through it. I think it's an interesting approach. $14.95 per year is basically slightly more than a dollar per month. So if you like this and you think this is a kind of a cool way to, yeah, see.
Buy stock in Google.
Buy stock in Google. Buy stock in McDonald's.
Do they let you buy partial stock? Because it will save a long time to buy one.
Certain stock, you're going to be saving a while, kid.
That's a lot of Barbies, I'm just saying.
But anyways, it's a cool educational tool, and maybe it makes things a little easier around the home, and who knows, maybe things actually get clean. So there you go. It's called Busy Kid. You should check it out. All right, Chuki, you have an app that you want to show off. It's possible that we might get an instant app out of it. Is that right?
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so let's see how this works on the display. So just going to the Play Store, this app is called Paper Football. It's actually a logic game. No guarantee that the instant app part of the experience will work, but we'll try. So instead of clicking install, I'm going to click on try now and see if we get the instant app experience. Yay. So it asked me, of course, to continue, and I will accept the part, so I will do that. So now I download it, which is super fast, so great Wi-Fi here. So this app is a logic game in the sense that this is a tutorial. You can move this football, and then it's you versus the opponent, and you want to score it. So you take turns to make moves. But if you move through a point that's already there, you get an extra move. Also, if you go through the edge, you also get an extra move. So that's it. So I'm here. I want to go there. So let me go there. And then the AI will try to get the ball on the other way. So I'm just going to show you how, if you go back to a point that you've done it, then it's still my turn, so I can make another one. So you can't keep going. Not going to finish the game. Also, I have not played it enough to actually win yet, so I cannot show you that how to win. But it looks deceptively simple. But like I said, I haven't won yet. So probably I'm too naive in terms of like, oh, I want to go that way. Because what you want to do is you want to plan ahead so that look at that.
Yeah, right.
Right? It just got so much more ahead because it went through the existing points. Right. So yeah, very simple app. I like it because that's literally what you do. You have a single screen and then you go through. And then for those of you who haven't tried Instant App yet, that is also a great way to see how that experience is.
Yeah, I mean, it pulled up immediately.
Yeah,
like,
that was
so quick.
You didn't
even really have to wait for it. That's awesome.
And then you're just using it.
Yeah, and then it counts the number of moves. And then if you have finished it, and you can challenge yourself and see if you can do it in fewer moves. So, yeah.
Nice.
It's called
And now, are all the play fields the same play field? It's just, or do they change at all?
Oh, that's a good question. I know that there's a setting here where you could change the... Oh, no, not here. I remember there was a setting. Oh, maybe I have to restart first. That you can change the difficulty.
Oh, okay.
So this is difficulty easy.
Yeah.
So let's see if the feel's different when it's difficult.
Ooh.
Ta-da.
You'll never win when it's difficult.
Actually, the feel looks the same. So perhaps it's the opponent being smarter.
Yeah.
And then...
So if it was impossible before, it's going to be really impossible.
I wouldn't
now.
Say it's impossible. It's more like I have been very, just playing it casually. Yeah. I wasn't treating like a chess game where I look at five moves ahead.
Right.
So I just want to bounce it off here because now I, again, and then it's like, no.
Wow, this computer is out for you.
Yeah exactly. So it's just nice little game.
Awesome. That's called Paper Football. It's a logic game. And if you want to try it before you download it, you can do Instant App. Just go to the Play Store page for it on your mobile device, and it says just like try it now, right?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love it. We need more of that on the apps, because then you can try it before you download it. That's great.
Very cool.
All right, Ron, it is your turn. I have it installed.
All right. So unfortunately, the name of my app kind of gives away the interesting thing about it. But the app is called One Clock Free. And then, of course, it's got the descriptive text in the Google Play Store. One Clock Free, multiple alarms with one click. And basically what it is it's an alarm clock app that looks very similar to the default clock app within Android. It defaults to the alarm view. It also has a timer and a stopwatch if you swipe through or look along the top. But what makes this interesting is that if you go to the alarm view and then go into the settings, not the action button, but the settings, you can set this to automatically set multiple alarms at once. Now, why is that interesting? Well, if you're like me and you have a 6:15 flight, which means you got to get up at 4:45, you get desperately afraid, or even earlier, 4 o'clock, let's say, you get really worried that you're going to sleep through your alarm. So quite often I set multiple alarms. I will set an alarm for 4 a.m., 4:05, 4:10, and then pray that I get up in time. With this, you don't have to do that multiple times. You just do it once, and boom, it gives you multiple alarms at once. If you go, if you go back into the settings, Jason, in there you could define the under alarms the number of alarms to set. So you can set from 1 to 8. You can also set so if you hit a number, hit 4 or just hit cancel or whatever you might need. All right, then you can hit the minutes between alarms. They have a default setting called smart, which I don't quite know what the smarts are behind that. But if you tap on minutes between alarms, you can specify 1 to 10 minutes. So like I like to give myself 5 minutes in between alarms. Like I like to snooze a little. And then you can also control how long it silences after, the snooze duration. Basically, it gives you a lot of granular control over your alarms. I find this immensely helpful for when I need to get up for an early flight. So there you go. 1 clock free. It's free in the Google Play Store. It does have ads in the middle of it, but it has an in-app purchase option for $3.49 where you can get rid of the pesky ads. So support your devs. If you need help getting up, some people do. Not everybody just gets up immediately. Sometimes you want to ease into waking up. I like multiple alarms. Sue me. So there it is.
I'm with you, Ron. Do the exact same thing. I set like 4 or 5 alarms if I have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, and, and it's really annoying because you got to set each individual alarm. With this, it's just one tap. You set it once and it does it automatically. So, and listen, Burke, you can sue me all you want. I will set multiple alarms. So there you go. So, 1 clock free in the Google Play Store or $3.49 in app purchase. So.
Okay. Awesome stuff. 1 clock, it's 3:49 is what I did. Otherwise, there was a little ad up at the top. And again, support your developers. I'm switching things up just a little bit, Victor, because I could not get our internal URL shortener working. So it's bit.ly, not twit.to. bit.ly/AAApoll367 should work. I'm hoping that it does. Yes, it does. bit.ly/AAApoll367 to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Picture This, Busy Kid, Paper Football, or 1 clock free? You can place your vote and we'll check in on it next week. And Victor is going to hover and choose something. And we're all hoping.
He's going to choose Picture This.
Nice.
Picture This.
He's going with a sympathy vote.
Because Victor knows like the wildflowers are out.
Yeah.
Right, Victor?
Yeah.
yeah, sure. Yeah. Awesome stuff. There's a quick bit in here. What's that?
Yes. Before we move on, I want to revisit Google Tasks that we talked about earlier in the show, and we talked about how bad the web view looked. Uncle Bic in the chat room chimed in, and he actually took a screenshot, and we can share with that. He has the new Gmail, which I do not. And the new Gmail does give you a much different view of the tasks. It is not the bad 15 years ago web view, but you get a nice little window to the right side of Gmail with your task list. So it is designed to be part of the G Suite. I just want to give the task team credit. It's also there on the right side of your calendar. Not the most beautiful integration on the calendar. I like it better on the Gmail side.
Yeah.
But thank you to Uncle Bic for blurring out any personal details and showing us your desktop. But so tasks is integrated in a nicer way on the web. You just need the new version of Gmail, which honestly makes sense when you think about it.
It is. I mean, that was a big part of the new Gmail interface is that they've got the add-ons on the right-hand side and better looking calendar, better looking. Keep is embedded still, and then of course tasks
still takes a while to load.
What does Keep
or Gmail?
Gmail, anyway. Yeah. It's the internet. That's just how it goes. Chuki, it was great having you on.
Really
thank you so much
thank
for driving
so much
up and being
you.
On the show.
This is so fun.
Yeah, we had a blast having you on, and we hope that you'll come back. I mean, whether you're in the area or if we get you on Skype or whatever, we'd love to have you back.
Great.
That'd be a lot of fun. What do you want to leave people with? What is the thing that you want people to know as far as like what you're working on and what they should know?
Well, I kind of talked about that already. 360 NDEV, my conference, is going to be July 19th and 20th in Denver. So that's a Thursday and Friday. I will encourage you to come, attend, and also hang out for the weekend. July is beautiful. If you like hiking,
yeah.
Oh, it's gorgeous. There's still some snow on the mountain, so you see this snow-capped mountain. And depending on what trail you go on, that's a trail that I really like because there's a very high chance of seeing moose up close.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. So it's...
You're enticing me with the moose.
Well, I mean... You had me at moose.
You
had me at moose. Right. The moose.
Yeah. So check it out. It's just a really fun crowd as well because it's a relatively small conference. So people really just have fun and learn from each other. So that will be what I want to leave the audience with.
Right
the
on. Conference. Cool. Yeah, and that is 360anddev.com.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Flo, what's new in your world? What's the new Flo news?
I will be updating my website, florenceion.com, this week with what I've been working on the last month. I just started writing that blog post today. It's like the first time I'm doing it. Like, here's what Flo's been doing blog posts. It's been a very interesting experience. The 15 minutes I did it today. I've got a bunch of reviews coming out in the smart home section. I will be updating you all on Twitter and on the blog. And of course, keep up with us next week.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot going on next week.
Heck yeah.
We're
looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun. Cool. Well, I'll see you at the show.
Yeah.
And I'll see you at the show.
Yeah.
I won't see you at the show, Ron. But you have fun at Walt Disney World.
Yeah,
I'm very, very jealous. I was so upset that I'm not going to I.O. that I booked a trip to Disney World just to get my mind off of it. No, I'm only going for the weekend. I'll be there Friday through Sunday. So follow me on Instagram at RonXO on the ever-popular Instagram, and you probably see some posting from Disney as I'm channeling my jealousy of not being at I.O. So follow me on Instagram at RonXO. You can also follow me on Twitter at RonXO, where I post nonsense that you don't understand what it means. But I was hoping to be talking about what I've been working on today. And Jason and I were texting earlier because Jason asked if I had anything special to talk about. Let me tell you, folks, hardware is hard. And I know, and I feel like that's been a theme on this show for many years.
Yes, it has.
And I'm finding out the hard way. Not that it's bad. I'll tell a little bit about it. I am working on a hardware project that involves electronics and computers and apps and things like that. It's not going to be, I think, what anybody on the show expects. Although once you hear about it, it will make sense. So there you go. We're getting ready to announce our plans and our beta program. But we held back because sometimes you got to make the prudent decision.
Yep.
So hopefully in upcoming weeks, I'll have more to announce. But things are happening in the background. So very exciting. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I can't wait. You take the time you need. I took 3 years to be done with my album, so I get it.
Which I got in the mail the other day.
Oh, did you?
So, no, yes, I did.
Hold on. Look, I've got it right here. I've got it literally right here. And Jason signed it. He signed it.
Aren't you happy you have my signature, Ron? I finally signed your
It's got stuff. A CD. It's
what is amazing. A CD?
I don't have anything to put this in, but I have it. So it's good. Very exciting, and it's nice. And Jason says a big thanks to everyone who supports my music on Kickstarter and beyond. And I'm not upset that he didn't thank us specifically. So
yeah,
there you go.
It's okay.
I only had so much room.
Also got a yellow gold CD. Like, this is so cool.
Oh,
this,
yeah. You didn't have that? Oh, that was part of it. I got it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
right on. This.
It's cool.
Awesome.
I love it.
Well, I'm happy you got it. So I guess what I'm saying is that took me 3 years. So you take all the time you need, Ron. It's okay. Yeah. It comes out when it's ready, right? Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear what you have in store. By the way, that can be found at yellowgoldmusic.com. That's all I need to say about that. Victor, thank you once again for being the master of ceremonies.
Oh, no problem.
No red weddings happening under your watch, Victor.
It's almost like you put me on the spot every week, so I don't know what to say.
That's good enough. I almost feel like we've done our job when I say thank you so boisterously that all I get from you is, you're welcome.
One of these days I'll have something to say.
It's all good, man. We're happy to have you along. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Android Arena apps list can be found at twit.to/ Android apps. You can also find all the Oreos that we're eating, twit.to/Oreo. Show notes and past episodes. This is probably the most important one, twit.tv/AAA. That's where you'll find all the information about this show. All the podcast, you know, back episodes, all that kind of stuff can be found there. And if you want, you can watch us live. Normally, we are live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. But reminder, next week, we will not be. There is no live show next week for Google I.O. We're recording from the show, and that episode will magically appear on YouTube and in your podcast feed either Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. So look for it then. I think you'll be happy that you did. Thank you for joining us for another episode of All About Android. We'll see you all next week, and happy Google I.O. Eve, kind of, sort of. Very close. We'll see you guys later. Bye, everybody.
Happy Google I.O.
Yay! Flo and I have decided we're sending you another batch.
We have doubles now because
so we've
Eric's
got a couple of doubles.
Them home.
So we'll send them to you and you'll get a box.
All right.
But tonight you don't have this.
Yeah.
And probably nobody has this.
I even looked.
What is it? I don't even know.
Nobody has the one that I have right now.
Oh, it looks good. It looks good.
What is somebody it? Sent it in. Somebody, a fan of the show, and I'm not finding a name on it. But it says, to Jason Howell and the AAA team, a AAA fan in Japan and friend of the show wonders if you all could like tiramisu Oreos.
Oh. Yes!
This is the 30th anniversary year of Oreo in Japan. I love how excited everybody is.
Tiramisu, oh my God.
Which inspired this and other flavors. And for the record, Japan is where Sony Xperia phones abound. Xperia models, line,
That's
carrier, display shelves. And second only to iPhone, Xperia accessories are the most stocked
second
in Japan's electronic shops.
So that's where the world exists of the Xperia.
So, we need to go
on an All About Android trip.
Yeah.
To
sign me up.
Experience this for ourselves. Yeah.
Can we take a shot of the box again quickly, Jason? I like the little art made out of the chocolate dust.
Yeah, there's like, oh, show the gold. Show the gold on camera. Like, there you go.
That.
Oh, yeah.
Shiny.
Yeah.
This is special.
Yeah,
this
is special indeed.
This is like, we saved ourselves a trip to Japan, but why would we want to do that? Because Japan's awesome.
Right. It's all puffed up.
Oh, see, had I known they were individually wrapped, I would have sent you one of these too. I suppose I still could. I'll save one of these packages and send it to you. Burke, however, disagrees. He thinks these are going to be gone.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to last very long. So they look to be thinner than regular.
Yeah,
Oreos.
Yeah.
They're the thin variety. Okay, I'll pass those down.
And that cracking is a great sign of it being past the open by date.
It's possible. Let's see.
Ooh,
here.
Okay. Just want to say these smell like tiramisu. They smell like.
Oh, there you go. Oh. August 2018. You're good. You're still good.
We're not going to die.
These smell like rum.
All right, so
Japanese tiramisu.
It does. It really smells like tiramisu, to be honest. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited. Like the kind of garden.
I'm very jealous. Tiramisu, for those who don't know, is a delicious dessert with the amaretto flavoring, usually with vanilla fingers and cream and Italian, really, I think. Isn't tiramisu Italian in its origin?
Yeah. So
I should know that considering I am Italian.
It is really good.
It tastes like a tiramisu with a chocolate. With a chocolate coating.
Kind of subtle. It's it's not like smack you over the head tiramisu flavor. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is pretty good.
How does the thinness, it looks like it's a thin cookie, but you still got pretty normal thickness cream in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is like a sub brand of Oreo that they have the thins, and we have a few of those in the queue. And I think it's fine. I mean, obviously, I like a thicker cookie too for other flavors, but I think it works fine for these.
Good.
It's kind of almost has a light quality to it.
Delicioso.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do ratings.
Flo, what's your rating?
I didn't prep you for this.
Yeah,
PPM,
I haven't tasted the others to calibrate. So,
that's fair.
Yeah, that's
what is a normal Oreo? Maybe I can get
the normal Oreo.
A 10.
It's 5?
It's a 10.
Oh,
ten.
Okay.
Yeah, we kind of went like, you know, normal Oreo is as good as it gets, at least in most
creepy.
Of our
That's
opinions.
Just creepy.
What's
skewed
that?
Skewed the curve on the with the normal Oreos. All right, so Jason, what's your rating?
It's creepy.
I'm going to give it a 9.
8.5.
No, I'm going to give it a 9. These are really good.
Yeah,
and they traveled really well, too. Here, little hand. Here's one that's open already.
Yeah.
Here you go, little hand. Go ahead and take it off.
do you want to give a shot at a rating? Do you want to give a guest rating, Chuki?
Yeah,
I would rating. Give it 9. But
wow.
All right.
But this is. But then I'm putting the normal Oreo at like 6. So
you're not a normal Oreo fan.
No.
Okay.
Whoa.
I know.
Because this is the 9 that much more value.
It's more like
that.
A waiver than like a normal Oreo.
Yeah, it's true.
I really like the texture.
It smells like tiramisu. Come on, you spend all this time in Italy. You should know what tiramisu smells like. Obviously, you can tell who I'm talking to.
of all people, Padres offended by the fact that this is a tiramisu Oreo.
So was that enough, Jason, to tell Leo and
Padre
Lisa
to
fill their luggages with it?
Yeah, on the way home. Leo and Lisa, if you're listening or watching, load up an extra suitcase full of these, and we'll give them to everyone that listens. Am I promising too much?
We might have to, because if Google throws a wrench in our plans and is like, hey, let's actually announce what Android P is, like, that's just going to...
Maybe Android T is going to be tiramisu. That would be...
Oh, that would be delicious.
Throwing that out there, we'll check in on it in 5 years.
Pistachio tiramisu and mango tiramisu
and
gluten-free tiramisu, if that exists.
Yeah.